There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Professor Barry Strauss, Emeritus Cornell University and a senior fellow at the Hoover Institution and on the campus of Stanford University in Palo Alto, California. We're discussing his new book, Jews versus Rome, and we're at the moment of the siege of Jerusalem by the Roman legions, who are extremely good in the open field and not so bad at siege tactics as well, conquering sieges. They've got artillery, they've got discipline, they've got food, they've got water, and they're led by a man, though 30 years old, has a father who's the emperor of Rome at the moment, so he has all the authority he needs. We're inside Jerusalem, however. Professor makes it very clear that the Jews defending Jerusalem do not have one leader, and therein lies a problem. I have John, I have Simon, and I have Eliezer. What do they represent, Barry? Thank you.
Very good introduction, John. And what they represent, Eliezer represents the priestly rebels. These are the zealots, as we call them, the enthusiasts. They tend to be relatively moderate as rebels go. John and Simon are both freelancers, as it were. John is a wealthy man who comes from a town all the way in the north. It's near Israel, modern Israel's border with Lebanon. And Simon comes from a family of converts, arguably comes from a town in what is now Jordan, although there's some question about that. And he's a champion of the poor, of the outcasts, of the oppressed, even of slaves. So he represents the possibility of a social revolution as well as a political revolution against Rome. And these three factions are fighting for control of the holy city. And there's a long pause between the time of Vespasian's attacks and the time Titus comes back, 2 years, really. And they spend that time not in learning to work together and building up their strength, but in killing each other. In factional fighting, and as if that wasn't bad enough, they destroyed the grain supply in the city, leaving enough to feed the fighters, but not enough to feed the people inside Jerusalem. So they're creating an impossible situation of civil war and famine. And that's the situation they have created when they're expected to withstand a siege by the mightiest army in the world.
Four legions, I believe, Titus plus hangers-on and auxiliaries, marching on Rome. At this moment, it's important. The back door opens, and two groups leave the city before it's completely surrounded by Rome. Yeah. One is a man who will lead the Jewish religion beyond Jerusalem, all those thousands of years in exile, in ability to get back to Jerusalem. His name, you help me, Barry. What's his
name? Yeah, his name is Yohanan ben Zakkai. Yohanan ben Zakkai.
And his vision, what does he take with him when he leaves the city?
So this is based on tradition in the Talmud. Scholars have some questions about it. But he is smuggled in a coffin to Vespasian. And the story told in the Talmud, written several centuries afterwards, is pretty similar to the story of Josephus. He goes and sees Vespasian. He hails him as emperor-to-be, and he asks that he be allowed to set up an academy in a small city on the plains called Yavne. That is the tradition, and the tradition is that in the next decade or so, he comes up with the rudiments of what is to become rabbinic Judaism. That is a Judaism centered on the synagogue rather than on the temple in Jerusalem.
That's one religion. One religion for the rabbis.
That's one religion, yes.
Then the door opens again, and the Jews associated with Jesus, where do they go?
Yes. So another tradition, this is in the Church Fathers, the Jews associated with Jesus, the followers of Jesus, the Christ followers, leave Jerusalem, and Jerusalem had been the center of the early church, and they go to a city called Pella in what is now northwestern Jordan. And there they survive, they find refuge during this time of war.
So 2,000 years later, that door, those two doors that open are the reason we have the successful civilization we do in the United States. So
amazing.
I just thought I'd mention that, Ari. Does Josephus tell both those stories?
No. He tells, I'm not sure that he tells either of those stories. He certainly doesn't talk about the Christians. And I don't think he talks about Rabbi Yohanan ben Zakkai. I think that's just in the Talmud. But I'm not 100% sure.
But Josephus is chronicling this battle. I wanted to emphasize that we depend upon Josephus exaggeratedly. And what we just gave you were two facts that are not Josephus and even seem more fantastic. But there they are. So now we go back to the fundamentals we can talk about. If you've been lucky enough to visit Jerusalem, Barry designs a city that doesn't exist anymore, but you can imagine it when you're there. There's a first wall, a second wall, and a third wall. What do they protect, Professor?
Well, they, you know, all told, they protect the city as a whole. But the third wall is protecting the northernmost part of the city. The second wall, the inner part, including the temple, and then the third wall, an inhabited area, including the palaces, the homes of the priests, the homes of the wealthy. And then the temple itself is on a hill above the city, and it's also fortified. So there's a lot of protection for the city.
And the walls are very thick. The Romans have good artillery, but it can't crack these walls.
No, it's hard to get through. The northern part, the northern wall, is where the Romans concentrate their attack. That's also the flattest terrain. So Jerusalem's surrounded by ravines on three sides. Only on the north is there relatively level ground to launch an attack. And the northern wall is the weakest of the walls.
And the assault begins, and the Romans are overconfident. The Jews, on the other hand, understand guerrilla tactics. How do they frustrate the Romans, Barry?
Well, again and again, they frustrate the Romans with raids from outside the city. So in the very beginning of the siege, when the Romans are setting up their camp on the Mount of Olives, there is a large raid using irregular tactics from the city, which drives the Romans back. As Josephus tells the story, it's only the heroism and leadership of Titus that saves the army. Well, maybe. We can't be sure that's really true. But the army is saved, and then there are a number of attacks like this, a number of times when the rebels undermine, they dig underground, they undermine the Roman siege equipment. And it's a very difficult siege for the Romans. And there are moments of despair. Also, the Romans don't have water the way the rebels do. And they have to go bring the water from further. They have to bring the food from further. They use all the trees near the city early on, and they have to bring timber from farther away. So it is a real logistical challenge, and it's a morale challenge as well for the army to defeat this, take the city by storm.
Again and again, Titus saves his army. And why that's important is because it's probably not true. Why do we reason that? How do we reason that, Barry?
Well, for one thing, we know that Titus had help. His chief of staff was a man named Tiberius Julius Alexander, who had been the governor of Egypt and had been the kingmaker in putting Vespasian on the throne. What's really, and a very, very experienced soldier, quite a bit older than Titus. What's remarkable about him is that he was a Jew. And yet, like some Jews, a minority, but some Jews, especially wealthy Jews, he was pro-Roman. And sufficiently pro-Roman that he is there to try to put down the rebellion to try to talk sense to these rebels as he saw it before they destroy everything.
And also, again and again, Josephus wants to favor the emperor because his life depends upon pleasing the emperor.
Yes.
It's impossible not to like Josephus because he's so human in his motives. He keeps changing sides depending on whether Josephus survives or not. I found him a great playwright, but not very credible. How do you find him, Jeff?
Yeah, well, his credibility is an issue and a problem because he's writing these books after the war when he's living in Rome and he has a pension from the Roman emperors. So he's in a very difficult position. He's doing what he can to write books that make the Jewish people as a whole look good, because there's still a very large Jewish population in the Roman Empire, and he wants them to survive. But by the same token, he's also trying to justify himself and defend his own life. Many Jews look down on him as a traitor, because he was a traitor. But as he said, he went over to the side of Romans because he had a vision from above. A divine dream came to him and told him that the Romans were going to win this war, and the best thing he'd do would be go over them and try to save his people from their folly of rebelling against a power that had God itself on its side.
And despite the fact that he's a turncoat, he makes sense to us here 2,000 years later. When you're faced with an inevitable, why sacrifice everything you've ever worked for? To what end? The Romans were not leaving. They were not going to back off the way the Maccabees won success at their time against the Greeks. They knew that in the city as it is starving to death. And there's an element here that we need to talk about, Barry. That's the apocalyptic vision. What do the defenders think that they're achieving?
Well, you know, at least some of the defenders, this is the great golden age of apocalypse in ancient Jewish culture and then in Christian culture, which derived from it or the variant of it. And they believe that the kingdom of God is at hand and that the redemption is at hand and that a descendant of the house of King David, the anointed one, the Messiah, which is what anointed, what Messiah means, will rise and lead the redemption of Israel and free it from foreign rule and initiate a glorious new age. And without doubt, some of the rebels thought that. There are other rebels who were more strategic thinkers and who were hoping to get help from the Parthian Empire, either from the Parthian regime itself or from their compatriots, the large Jewish population in the empire, and perhaps from one small vassal kingdom in the Parthian Empire, what is nowadays Iraqi Kurdistan. In antiquity, it was called Adiabene, at least in Greek, and its ruling dynasty had converted to Judaism, had built palaces in Jerusalem, and there were representatives of the dynasty, scions of the dynasty, who were actually in Jerusalem at the time of the revolt and who were fighting for the rebels. So whether through apocalyptic vision or through geostrategic hopes, they thought that they could somehow prevail against the Romans.
The book is Jews versus Rome. Professor Barry Strauss of the Hoover Institution, the author. When we come back, a revolutionary decision by the Flavians. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
There's still still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.